This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
We thought it might happen in the Sunshine State. Florida election officials have ordered a hand recount of the ballots in that tight race between U.S. Senator Bill Nelson and his Republican challenger, Governor Rick Scott. And that's where we start here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We go to Ellen Ratner in our virtual green room from Talk Media News. Ellen, are you surprised by this? What is going on in Florida?
Well, I am surprised because, of course, there was going to be a machine recount, which was due at 3 p.m. on Thursday. But they were surprised that they actually ordered a hand recount. That means actually human beings, not machines, looking at each ballot.
And we've seen that before. Remember 2000?
Well, that's right. It's very interesting that a judge said, well, you know, the world is laughing at us, but he would not change his viewpoint, even though he said the world is laughing at us.
Okay, so I have a question about another race. What's going on with Stacey Abrams and the whole governorship that's up for grabs in Georgia?
Well, we don't actually know what's going on because they're not being as transparent in some respects as Florida. However, we do know that she is not going to concede, just like actually the governor, Gillum, is not conceding. But we don't really know what's going on with that race. All we know is that there are still some uncounted ballots, and we're going to wait and see what she actually winds up doing.
Yeah. How about the Jim Acosta saga? Now everybody's jumping in on that, and there's lawsuits galore. Do you think he's getting his hard pass back?
Well, I don't actually know. I think it's going to depend on what the courts again decide. What's very interesting about that is Jeff Flake, who's the outgoing Arizona senator, but a Republican, really took after the president and what they were doing at the Congressional Correspondents' Dinner, which was Wednesday night. And so, you just never know what the courts are going to decide about this, but I do know that CNN was actually joined by Fox News Channel.
Yeah, how about that? That's crazy, especially when you look at Sean Hannity and his proximity to the president, etc. But they know, they realize when you talk about a free press, what a slippery slope that would be. You and I have talked about that.
Well, of course, you know that a free press means that people can say anything they really feel like it. That's what a free press is about, and it's in our Constitution. And it's very interesting. Senator Flake, outgoing, but people think he's running for president. Senator Flake said, basically, are you going to go with the man or are you going to go with the Constitution?
Wow. And like I said, never a dull moment in Washington. You and I have talked about this so many times, Ellen. I remember, I think we were in the rainforest and you were telling me, maybe I'm just going to I might step away from this. I've done it for a long time. I think you're going to be doing this I predict, through the next election at least.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. And, of course, people are already saying to us, well, are you going to be doing your radio row in New Hampshire? And I think we actually are again.
I love it. Oh, and it gets more and more interesting. So it's a great question to ask you. You have friends on both sides. When you look at the Democrats, honestly, if you were in charge, if you were in charge of running the campaign, or you were in charge of being in the front office, I'm going to call it, of the Democratic Party, you had the most power, Ellen Ratner. Who would you tap for president? Who would you look at for president?
You know, I'm asked that all the time because everybody looks at Kamala Harris, and I say, look at her Wikipedia page. It's not very pretty. Look, Sherrod Brown from Ohio, who's a friend, might get in. And he has been in New Hampshire, actually. He hasn't been in New Hampshire. Sherrod Brown has not been in New Hampshire. The former governor of Ohio, who's a Republican, has been in New Hampshire. I'm getting my people all mixed up.
That's all right. But, and it is one of those things. Yeah. Sherrod Brown?
I mean, there are at least 20 people running for the Democratic seat. And if they decide to run against President Trump, and that might be the current governor of Ohio, Kasich, who is still governor but has been in New Hampshire, it might be somebody like Jeff Flake from Arizona. You just don't know. And you don't know if Trump is going to be, you know, listen, I think that he exhausted himself so much after trying, he did as many before the end of the election, he did three different rallies in three different states. And then he did not even go to Arlington Cemetery on what was the American Veterans Day, which was last Monday, because it was a federal holiday on Monday, even though the Veterans Day was on Sunday. But he didn't even go to Arlington. The first president hasn't gone to Arlington. You know, nobody has said this, but I don't think the guy's well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think the guy's well either. Yeah, something's going on there that we don't know.
Right.
I'm glad that you brought that up. And I don't know if you're back east, but the snowstorm smashing into the East Coast.
Oh, my gosh.
Snowmageddon.
I was back east, of course, because of the congressional dinner, which I always go to. And then I took a train to New York late yesterday. And I'll tell you, the snow is just as New York, if not worse, than it is in D.C. And you could not get a cab for anything. So I took a subway. People are extremely nice. They helped me with my suitcase in New York. But then a Uber driver came and said he would take me to my destination. He wanted to charge me $75. I said, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'll just fight it. Somebody will help me. They're so nice. I love it. Oh, Ellen Ratner, it's always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So you heard Ellen mentioning, of course, what could happen with the Democratic Party. And I asked that because of Beto O'Rourke. Iowa's reached out to him. The Democrats have. He got pretty close to Ted Cruz, did not beat Ted Cruz for his Senate seat, but certainly raised the antenna on, could this be the guy? People were describing him as young, Kennedy-esque-like in his speaking and that kind of thing. And I always think, if you have so many people running so many choices, how confusing will that be? And we've had three presidents in a row that have been reelected. So there's kind of a pattern here. And if I'm Donald Trump and the people around Donald Trump, I'm not concerned if the Democrats are disorganized or it seems like there isn't one person to emerge. Of course, there's still time. Then that falls in the favor of the incumbent, absolutely. So we mentioned the snow, and the snow is really a big hassle. It started later in the day in New York, and it slowed the evening commute there. It's the first one of the season, and it kind of crawled. In St. Louis, I mentioned how St. Louis was going to get slammed with that. They did, snow, freezing rain, that kind of stuff. And, you know, this is it. This is the deal. We know that poor weather is going to happen. And this is the first time. As somebody who grew up in those areas, not St. Louis, but in the Northeast, boy, you get on those bridges and somebody decides, no, I'm okay, and not, my tires are gripping, and they let it rip. Oh, there was a bunch of problems on the George Washington Bridge, the Bayonne Bridge, which connects Staten Island to New Jersey. It makes you definitely glad that you're not living back there. Plus, it's $13 each way to get over those bridges. Whoa. All right, hang with us. We're going to Australia next to talk to David Thornby about his fabulous book. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Continue to roll through America tonight. It's pretty interesting talking about, you know, what we're seeing coming down weather-wise in New York. The rest of the world is certainly having their share of weather, without a doubt. You know, it's interesting. We're hoping to get David Formby on with us. And he's in Australia, and in Australia, it's actually a different time of year for them. It's quite warm in Australia. And we know from our pal Jack that has called us many, many times when he's in Australia. He's from there. He talks about what he sees, what's going on with the weather, and, you know, that whole kind of thing. So it depends. We see one thing in one side of the world and one thing in the other side of the world. This is part of the big discussion about what's going on with weather. All right, whether or not we get David on, we're going to move on to something else as we wait, because I'll tell you what, I got such a scary, scary number that was texted to me today from a friend, and I didn't realize it was this high. The campfire death toll is now 63, but this also adds to the sadness. The list of the missing has actually ballooned to 631 people. They say they do believe, though, a lot of people don't realize that people are looking for them, so maybe that would account for some of that number. The good news is the winds have calmed down, so that's left the air filled with smoke and haze from the fires, so there's poor air quality. The blaze is now 40% contained. It covers 141,000 acres, according to the state fire people. So that's up from 30% on Wednesday. So of the 63, only three have been still publicly identified. And most of the people were found in Paradise, that area called Paradise. And then there were eight that were found in another area and three in another area. So, you know, they were found in houses. They were found in other buildings. 14 were found outside. 9 were found outside of their car or their truck. They were trying to flee, and they couldn't because the tires melted and the fire just engulfed them. And I just can't even imagine the dry, warm temperatures. All that stuff just added to the problems of this fire. This is the worst fire in California history. It's the worst fire. And will this town rebuild all that? I mean, they can't even think about that. Because what they're thinking about is they've had 450 searchers out there. They've had cadaver dogs. They're sifting through debris for remains. That's what they're trying to do. They really fear that this death toll is going to climb even higher when evacuees return, and they're going to find bodies in singed out kind of shells of their homes. So this is awful. And when people describe the people that got out, they describe, hey, my cell phone didn't work, my house phone didn't work, nothing except for crawling into my car. And, you know, would people know to evacuate or not? And this woman who said she crawled into her car said that was part of the problem. She wouldn't have known to do that, but her daughter lived close by and got a hold of her, so she was able to tell her. And this is part of that dilemma. Then there's the Woolsey Fire that's burning west of Los Angeles. It's destroyed about 500 structures, killed at least 3 people, 62% contained, 62% contained on Thursday night, and they have high hopes that it'll continue to go that in that direction, right? Because it was terrible there, but not the loss of life that they had in Northern California. Bouncing back to the election, and we talked about the Florida recount and the hand counting that's going to go on, so now it's going to take a while. One thing was settled for sure. Andrew Gillum is going to have to go through the courts if he's going to challenge, because a recount of more than 8 million ballots ended Thursday afternoon confirmed that Republican Ron DeSantis beat the Democratic mayor in the nationally heavily watched race. So he's in. The margin of victory was enough for DeSantis, a former congressman representing Jacksonville, to avoid a hand recount of questionable ballots set aside for review. He'd already assembled a transition team to prepare for his role as the 46th governor. But Andrew Gillum, is not conceding. He and his supporters believe there's still a path to victory. So now there's lawsuits that could add more votes in support of him. So that has not stopped. Just like in Georgia, in that race, you have Kemp's campaign saying the election is over. Abrams' campaign, is claiming victory following the federal judge's ruling. Because a federal judge, and I talked about this the other day, ruled Wednesday night that the campaigns of both candidates didn't bring resolution to this bitter race that stretches into yet another week. And here we're coming up on a major holiday. What happens in this one? What happens? We just can't get this right, right? We just can't seem to get this right in some nooks and crannies. Yeah. And there's one of the big ones. Are they going to continue to have that tug of war? All right, so this is a time, and many people are already taking off this weekend, they will, etc. This is a time of year when you find people on the road, like 50 million people in the air, pack your patience, and just trying to get to relatives' houses or to a quick vacation spot to celebrate Thanksgiving. So gas prices have really plunged with the Thanksgiving holiday period approaching. I mean, a dramatic drop. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. So gas prices, where they were a four-year high in October, in fact, topped out at like $2.90 a gallon, depending on where you lived, and this is for regular, that it has now swung down in a different direction, if you will. The national average is like $2.68 compared to what it was. It made me think of, I remember when, and I think the high water mark for most people is $4. I remember when it was getting close to $4, and people were, wow, they were freaking out about that, about the that number, that it was so ridiculous, and they were gonna, you know, people were gonna carpool, and they were gonna take public transportation more. Because that was just too crippling, especially for anyone who had kids and had a bigger car, had an SUV or, you know, whatever. Money, not a problem, and filling up at whatever the cost is. For the person who bought British artist David Hockney's painting, $90.3 million at Christie's, breaking easily the record for a work by a living artist sold at an auction. How about that? It's very famous, this painting. It's called Pool Paintings, Portrait of an Artist, and it's considered one of his best. The previous record was Jeff Koons' Balloon Dog, which sold for $58.4 million, and that was back in 2013. Hockney is 81, and it's a 1972 painting he considered to be the holy grail of his paintings. From the historical end of it, the market perspective, all of that. So it obviously caught somebody's eye enough that they were willing to pay that kind of money for it. Isn't that interesting? And there's a rocky kind of landscape. It's in southern France. And it's got a depiction of two men, one swimming, the breaststroke, the other the pool, at the pool looking down. And what it's supposed to signify is, it's said anyway, to represent Peter Schlesinger, who Hockney met in 1966 when he was a student in one of his art classes at UCLA. And for the next 5 years, and according to Christie's, they verify that, he was the greatest love of his life, I guess, and one of his favorite models. And this thing really, really attracted a lot of attention. Like I said, $90 million. 90.3. Wow, wow, wow. More coming your way on the flip side here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You know, USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky. More than a week after the midterm election, there are still races without a winner. In the Georgia governor's race, the Republican Brian Kemp with north of 50,000 votes ahead of Democrat Stacey Abrams. Yet, she still will not concede the race. To Florida, where the Senate seat still not certified because the election too close to call. There will now be a hand recount of the votes. Republican Rick Scott ahead of Democrat Bill Nelson by just over 12,000 votes out of the 8 million people who cast ballots. So under state law, if the margin of victory is less than 0.25%, which it is, it triggers a manual recount. In other news, we learn this Saturday, President Trump scheduled to visit towns in California destroyed by the wildfires, home after home, building after building, burnt to the ground in the town of Paradise. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do it.
All right, for our next guest, we're going all the way across the pond and then the other pond and then another pond. Yeah, we're going to Australia to speak to David Formby, who has written a book called Lynn and David. It's a memoir, and I love the reason that he wrote this book. I'm going to let him tell you about it, of course, but I think it's something that couples who are really close should think about doing. Not necessarily writing the book that David wrote, but doing something that he did that brings out this memoir. David, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you. Good day, Kate. We've been having fun.
Yeah, we have been having fun. As I said, going to Australia, it's not a straight line, but we love Australia. I love Australians. So tell me about the book and your decision to do this book.
Well, Lynn and I had a sort of middle-aged love affair, I suppose, and I wanted my kids, I've got four girls from a previous marriage, and their children to know something about Dad and the way he felt, what he thought. And we had these letters that we wrote when I was doing a master's degree in Sydney, and we were separated, Lynn in Perth, me in Sydney, so there's about 4,000 kilometres between us. And we wrote to each other, and I think we got to know each other better, and it was great. And then we had 20 wonderful years together, and I was very lucky that all my daughters thought she was lovely, which of course she was. And, well, the kids have got the book, and I have no idea what some of them think about it. It sort of reveals a lot. In fact, when I look back through it myself, I was not exactly horrified, but I thought, my God, I'm showing an awful lot about myself in this. And I guess that's what letters do, and people don't write letters to each other much anymore. It's all little sound bites on Google and Facebook and that sort of stuff.
Boy, whereas isn't that
200 years ago, people wrote to each other.
Yeah, yeah. And that,
sorry,
and
I'm interrupting.
No, that's okay. I was going to say, isn't that the truth? People don't write letters the way that they used to, so it probably is incredibly revealing. Do you think that's how that relationship persevered? And you said it right there. You sort of got to know each other better. Did that make that relationship that much stronger, like glue it together more?
Absolutely. I think one of the things about writing is that you tend to write things that you don't say. And many times when you're face-to-face with somebody, the discussion is often pretty superficial. When you write, I think you get a little deeper into things, and that's what I think both of us did. And I think it established things in a way, even given that I think Lynn was a soulmate, which I think is a fairly rare thing these days, looking at a lot of the marriages I know. And so it was, for us, very, very special.
What was the hardest thing to do in pulling this together, David? Because, you know, now you have this idea of, wouldn't this be great? I'll pull this memoir together. Boom. The book title's Natural, Lynn and David. I love it. Simple. It makes sense. How did you decide, well, what I'm going to leave out, what I'm not going to leave out, that kind of thing?
Well, there was nothing left out of the letters. The only thing left out were the letters that might have been lost. The most difficult thing about it was reading the writing. I'm a retired doctor, so you can imagine my writing isn't the best. And I'd have to say Lynn's writing was often quite undecipherable, and there were a few words that I couldn't get. But there was certainly nothing left out. Everything that we said to each other in those letters is in the book. And if people find that of interest, that's fine. I guess I'm not an author, and I think any editor looking at this sort of stuff would be horrified at the grammar and horrified at the spelling, which I'd have to say is much worse than when I was 15 years old in a grammar school.
But here's what I love. You said it. You were a retired pediatrician. You were a hospital manager. I mean, you held some big positions. You were in the Australian Medical Association, surveyor with ACHS, chair of the Medical Board of Review. My goodness, your resume is crazy impressive, to be honest, David. You worked in the UK. You worked all over Australia. And you mentioned this family, the four daughters, the 10 grandchildren. I mean, what a great gift. And you said that. What a great gift to them. And You wonder what they think about it. Were they excited to find out about what you were doing?
I think so. Oddly enough, I've recently had the unfortunate thing of a nephew of 52 who died suddenly. And that pulled our family together a bit in the sense that we've set up a Facebook group to communicate. We were in the sort of situation of many families of talking to each other on birthdays, so twice a year I'd talk to my brother one way or another, and the loss of his son was pretty awful. So we set up this Facebook page, and that has produced the most amazing sort of response. I've started putting pages from another book which I had written, which was a memoir I started 20-odd years ago, and it was really things I could remember all the way back to the Second World War, because I was born before the Second World War. And, of course, what my mother told me, and I got her to write stuff too. The kids are beginning to learn something about the history of a family they didn't know about. And I think most families lose their history. Very few, I suspect, know much more than their grandparents, occasionally their great-grandparents. And if you happen to be in the royal family, you might be able to trace yourself all the way back to King Arthur. But other than that, no. People don't know.
Oh, and so now you know this, David. People want to be connected, and they want to know about their past. That's why genealogy has become so huge, and these different companies like Ancestry.com, etc., where people are tracing their roots. So this truly is a gift to them,
absolutely,
because you're sharing what you know, And what was, for you and your mother, I'm glad you brought up your mother, what is your best memory of your mother?
My best memory? Golly. I think it was probably during the war when my father was in the Royal Air Force and away, of course, and my mother had all four of her children, there were four of us, all had measles, and then we all proceeded to have chicken pox, so we were all kept in the downstairs front room. And I remember I upset her one day, and I can remember her grabbing me by the shoulders and banging my head against the wall, which probably did me absolutely no harm at all. It would be called child abuse these days. But that's one of my fondest memories of my mother. She was a bit like Lynn. She was a genuinely nice person. She was a Christian lady who didn't sort of go to church on Sunday. She lived her Christianity. It was like a Whitmont shirt. It was a way of life. And she was a bit special.
Ah, I love that description. How about Lynn? Tell us about Lynn.
Lynn, like myself, was an immigrant to Australia. She was born in England, as was I. She came out here, I think, when she was about 16 and worked in Sydney and worked in, eventually, the media, which is where I met her. She was a media buyer. And my friend Judy invited some of us to a dinner, and I sat across the table from Lynn. This would be 1983, and I don't know whether people believe in falling in love at first sight, but I did. She had a pair of eyes that glued me, I think. And so I remember ringing Judy and saying, "Do you think Lynn would mind if I gave her a ring and ask her out?" And that's how we first met. And I think we gelled from the very beginning. And then, as I've put in the book, being a well-brought-up Salvation Army boy in those days, I had real trouble leaving a marriage. And my first marriage lasted 29 years, but I had trouble. And I actually went back to my first wife, and so I let Lynn down extremely badly around 1983, and it wasn't until about end of 1988 that we met again, fortuitously. And it was no different to the first time I'd met her. And Lynn was one of those persons who was everybody's best friend. The number of people that told me that Lynn was their best friend since she died is absolutely amazing. She had this extraordinary capacity to relate to people. She was the sort of person who, she didn't understand evil. She could understand some things were bad. But we used to have quite long discussions because I sort of, with an interest in religion of one sort or another, have a big interest in good and evil. And, of course, these days there are many groups, Christian groups often, who think that there's good but no evil. Zoroaster, of course, had the idea that good and evil were equally balanced, and I think he was absolutely right. But Lynn had this problem with evil. She couldn't understand that anybody could be anything more than bad. And she did all sorts of things. She chaired the local group for readings, books for the blind. She talked to refugees. She worked for the Red Cross to ring people up who were elderly and isolated to make sure they were okay. It was just the way she was. She was...
Wow, she sounds
very
like
special.
Sounds like a wonderful human being. I would have liked to meet Lynn, and I am reading your book, so I'm getting to know her myself, and other people can do the same thing. Lynn and David, a memoir. David, thank you so much for coming on. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And again, you can pick up David's book, Amazon, Kindle, etc. I mean, what a wonderful idea. You take those love letters. So you write the letters. First of all, you write the letters. And I said at the beginning of this, how powerful would that be if you wrote letters? Because people don't do that now. I can't think of very many people who do it. He's right. It's text or some other way of communicating. So go pick it up. It'd be a great Christmas gift for sure. David Formby, and again, the book is Lynn and David.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Drag and swallow evolution in one gulp. GodSaidManSaid.com. The sons of God and science admits a ghost species. The amazing power of going to church. GodSaidManSaid.com. Dinosaurs and man contemporaneously? You possess the world's greatest treasure. GodSaidManSaid.com. Life after death experiences. Sin bones. St. Peter's fish. Hours of text and streaming audio. GodSaidManSaid.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Talking to David in Australia, and it's rather warm there. This is their summertime. That's what they're approaching their summer, right? All right, so how about this? As we motor through, it's always fun to spend some time in a man cave. So we are headed, my friends, to the man cave.
Time to
invade the man cave.
No, no, it's written in the teeth without pushing the sound. A good right about now. She's a good for him who's always right for her. She was always going right back down. When you are together, the things that they're living, it's impossible to shut their mouths. They're mad the other side.
All right, Aaron Rodgers is not listening to himself. The Packers are losing. What is going on with that? The Seahawks on Thursday Night Football beat the Green Bay Packers 27-24. Russell Wilson threw for 225 yards and a 15-yard pass to Ed Dixon with 5 minutes and change left. And that was it. So the Packers are 4-5-1. Their odds of hitting the playoffs, like 30%, probably not going to happen. It's a good time to remind all of you that we do this cool, fun thing called Nail the Score, and we do that Wednesdays into Thursdays, and we do it each and every week during the football season. Somebody's going to be a big winner. A lot of people will send me emails with a guest. You can only do it during that segment. Some people will call in, like Pete, Sharon, and Dan did this time around. Next week, we will do it the same time. We will do Wednesday into Thursday. Because even though it's a holiday, we are here for you. We are working that Wednesday. So you can count on that. You can count on Nail the Score. Wherever you are, run to a phone. Run. Run, my friends. Right? But we are, of course, off on Thanksgiving. Yes, indeed. College football, they're coming up to the do-or-die kind of scenario, including for Notre Dame. A lot of Notre Dame alums will be out in force this upcoming weekend at Yankee Stadium because Notre Dame is taking on Syracuse. That is going to be a big game, and Syracuse can be deadly. Syracuse could topple the Fighting Irish. If they do that, they topple out of the contention, I think, for one of those semifinal games. Who wins, number 12 Syracuse or number 3 Notre Dame? It's a holiday weekend. It will be packed. It'll be packed. By the way, how about this? California announced, Cal, that it canceled Thursday's men's basketball game against Detroit because of unhealthy air quality. The air quality index reading near Berkeley has hit as high as 248. That's a level that they call serious consideration that would be given to rescheduling something, an activity or moving it indoors. So prolonged exposure, all that kind of stuff. They said, we're just canceling it. We're canceling it because the amount of smoke infiltrating Haas Pavilion is just not good. And isn't it interesting because you think, where is the fire? How close is that to Cal? This thing is really spread. It spreads in the air. So the poor air quality even forced the University of San Francisco to cancel their Friday night game against Arizona State. They're just going to work to try to reschedule it. Because what are people going to do? They don't want to have people sitting there and be pulling in bad air and be wearing the masks. And, you know, at the Rams game the other day, they were giving out masks for people to wear if they felt compelled, like they, you know, it was good enough to do the game, but they weren't going to take any chances. So, in other words, there were some people that were sitting there with masks on. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's... Gosh, that's pretty scary, right? You must really want to go to see whatever team it is if you're going to sit in kind of iffy. If they tell me, hey, you know what, it's kind of, I mean, that's something to think about. It's kind of iffy. The air is kind of iffy. I'm thinking, you know what, if the air is kind of iffy, maybe, just maybe, I'm going to pass on that. I'm just going to take a pass, right? Would you take a pass on that? You know, you can go another time. We're not talking about, it's the Super Bowl. I think we need to go, right? Let's do it. The answer is just pass, right? Just pass. That's the best thing that you can do. Really, honestly. All right, a couple of other things that pinged on the radar. We may have that discussion in the man cave if we were sitting around playing a little eight ball, I call it, meaning pool. I used to play a bunch of pool where I lived. It was fun. That's a fun way to pass some serious time. That and cards. And when you go, sometimes when you go through some of these locker rooms, when you're at a golf course, people are playing cards. I'll never forget. I interviewed. Who was it? It was Mike Ditka. he agreed to be on a show that I was on, and when I was interviewing him, he was in the middle of his card game. And he would say, yeah, uh-huh. And then he'd be talking, and he could keep his concentration, but he was sitting in the locker room playing cards in the middle of that, right? That is some kind of concentration if you can do that. All right, so I want to know, show of hands, how many of you are ponying up for pay-per-view for Tiger's big event in the Bahamas? Well, I guess you don't have to pay pay-per-view there. I guess you got to pay for the Phil and Tiger 4-hour deal at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. Watching him in Bermuda, that's different. You don't have to pay $19.99 pay-per-view for this golf match between the two guys. And they're calling it the match. It starts at 3 o'clock Eastern on Friday. And I wonder how many people have signed up for this. They say there's going to be gambling. The match is being played in Vegas. The race and sports books at MGM Resorts is delivering the odds, money line, and other information about the performances. And Tiger and Phil are making all kinds of side bets on shots and putts and all that stuff, and they're donating it to charity. Overall, it's a big chunk of money that will be donated to somebody when it's all said and done. $9 million. It's a $9 million winner-take-all match. 4 hours, $20, almost $20 to watch the two of them duke it out in the desert. I want to know the true count on the amount of people that are paying that to watch it. Because, I don't know, I'm thinking, how high could that interest be, right? Will we even get clips afterwards? Will we be somehow we'll find out what happened, but will we get to see a little bit of that? I'm thinking, yeah, of course, but is this a new thing, a new phenomenon that could take off? I don't think so. Even if people are golfers and then it's in the middle of some serious football, I don't know that you're going to get a huge audience, but I could be completely wrong. I mean, maybe just the lore of that is too good, and there's some interest in watching two guys whose age adds up to 90 playing golf against each other, especially after what happened at the Ryder Cup when they both really didn't add much to the teams. Now, this is different. I mean, this is them playing against each other, duking it out, you know, the duel. But I just don't know that you get people on a holiday weekend to say, yeah, this is the day after Thanksgiving. We're not going to watch football then. 3 o'clock Eastern, we're going to be plugged into this match. I don't know. This is on non-pay-per-view TV. You'd get some interest. All right, so we're going to close the door. And we're going to exit the man cave. And this hour, thanks to all of you for listening, this hour of America Tonight.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.